Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and celebrity interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
Doing fantastic, Neil. How are you?
Fantastic. And our guest today, I'm so excited. We all know her as Hot Lips Houlihan, Loretta Swit. Loretta, thanks for stopping by. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you. Just terrific.
All right, Loretta, let's kind of jump right into this specifically enough. And tell me specifically enough a little bit about how you got your big break with MASH. How did that happen?
Oh, I wish it were some exciting story. I was already doing leads on television and really important shows, the big shows of that era. Gunsmoke, one of the longest lasting hour programs, and a great, Jim Arness, that whole the cast, and Millie Stone. Anyway, then Mannix, Jim, Mike Connors, very popular, very, very warm, wonderful actor, and Hawaii Five-0. I did about three of them. So I was there, and what did they say? We're there at the right time. It was a good time for me because this was going to be on CBS. I had just done a leading role on a new show with Glenn Ford called Cades County, and we did it at Fox, and it was for CBS. So the people there involved were not unfamiliar with me or my work, which was wonderful because they were fans. And so when the show, the idea of the show and so forth came up, I was the top of the list to meet with for the role. I was in Hawaii with Jack Lord. I was doing a two-part Hawaii show, and I missed all the kind of flap and hubbub that you know about the show. They saw, I've told hundreds of people, women, and when I came back, it was sort of at the tail end of casting. I remember my here's a piece of trivia. I was going to say, my agent said, "Have you seen MASH?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Oh, wonderful." Well, anyway, but I never saw it. I hadn't seen the film, and then I got the part, so I thought, well, I'm not going to see it now. No, I don't want to see it now. And so I've never seen the film. And it's kind of a really funny piece of trivia. So I went up and met Gene Reynolds and Larry Gelbart. None of us could have expected to be a part of the phenomenon that MASH has become, but because I think I would have been very nervous. I think I would have been very nervous, but I was not. I had fun. They were fun. Everybody was relaxed. There was no script. There was no script. You were going up for a job that wasn't created yet. I said, it's kind of getting an interesting sort of story now, but there was nothing exciting or different. It was just going up to see these people about a job, so to speak. And then, and they liked me. My agent knew that I was strong up for the role, and we had a film. We had an offer for a film at Universal, and the dates conflicted with the shooting of the pilot. So my agent called and said they should let him know as soon as they've decided because we have an offer that is a good one. It was wonderful film. So they said, and when he made the call out of courtesy, Gene Reynolds took the call and said, "This is amazing. We were just going to call you. We've decided to go with Loretta." And that was it. I told you it wasn't a great story. I went for a job and I got it. But I do think I was very, very blessed by being known by not the network and the studio and all people considered. They all thought, gee, you know, Loretta Swift would be great in this role, or whatever they thought. But I mean, it was wow, great, you know.
Well, that's fantastic. And I know I really enjoyed watching, you know, you and the rest of the crew on those shows over the years. Do you have any like fun stories? You know, I love to ask people, you know, behind the scenes, you guys are acting. You probably have some great stories. What's one story that might stick out?
Come on, rethink that question. 11 seasons with the bus and this great bunch of men. Do I have any fun stories? Are you serious? Is that a serious question?
It was serious. I asked for what's the one that sticks out the most in your mind, Loretta?
What?
Go ahead, Greg.
Every day was a fun story. we're all then and now such close friends, family. It was a pleasure to go to work, in quotes, work. You know, you're doing what you love with people you care about, and you're working with people who are incredible. There, it didn't come better than Larry Gelbart, for example. What a talent. Gene Reynolds with his wealth of experience. And so I can go on and on about people. They were just the best. You couldn't help but be infected by that, doing your best work. You're working on material that you loved. It was really a blessing. I've always called it the miracle of MASH. In my art book, I give a page to MASH, and I have a beautiful lithograph that was given to us on the 10th year, the 10th anniversary. And it was a surprise. We did not pose for the painting, and it's beautiful, and it's in my art book where I talk about the phenomenon that it became. And yet, thinking back, I remember the first couple of days when we were just meeting and getting together and so forth. There was magic around. Everybody fell in love. It was so beautiful to be with people you loved every day and doing what you thought was a wonderful show, a wonderful job. I remember Wayne one day said, people say to him, he said, they say, keep up the good work. And he said, Loretta, I feel like I'm on a football team or something. But the audience so appreciated the ensemble and the work and the talent involved, and it was just a miracle, a beautiful little miracle. All of us feel that way, by the way. I'm echoing so many things that we have as a group discussed with interviewers. We all felt blessed by this happening, these particular people coming together at that particular time with those particular production values and those particular gifted writers. And you know, it was I call it the miracle of MASH. It's just and I feel strongly about that still many years later.
You know, and that's so interesting when you talk about the miracle of MASH. The show in general, it was so popular. What do you think made it so popular that, you know, the final episode drew such an audience? What do you think made people talk so much about the show? And you have so many fans from years and years that it just continues to live on, MASH.
Yes, it is. It has been passed on from generation to generation. So you start getting, very soon afterwards, you start getting letters from children of children. And children's children of children, and it continued. My mom, my grandma, but would always watch it, and we would sit and watch the show, and they'd say, watch this. And so the grandparents, and then the great-grandparents, and it was like a torch getting passed along. I call it the global MASH family, but it really is. It's globally so popular, not only popular, but revered, and they feel about the cast, about those people. And I don't say characters because, you know, even though we were playing characters, they were real people in that situation. They just relate to us. They when we finish the show, we get letters about what everybody thought would happen to each individual character on the show. And I think this would happen. And our mail was just so beautiful. There were things that just should have been published. You know, I mean, they're just beautiful things that people got from the messages in the show. And I think they tackled some very innovative problems that hadn't been touched before. At any rate, there's just this one particular thing that I want to tell you about. And it was towards the end of the show, the last maybe weeks, we had a kind of big billboard where we started to tack up our mail so that everybody could share it. You know, if I got a piece of mail, it was to me, but it was about all of us. Anyway, we wanted to share that with the cast. And so there was this one simple note, and it read, "Dear MASH people, thank you. Thank you for the laughs and the tears. Thank you for letting me feel." And that said it for me. People felt. They turned on the show and they didn't know what to expect. We were always a little bit of a surprise. They didn't know if they were going to laugh or cry or do both simultaneously, which is really a feat. And I just, we all felt very close to our audience and it became family. And it continues to this day. It did. The mail still reflects that. The autograph shows, Jamie and I attend a lot of the autograph shows. And it is beautiful. Their response, talking about this, that, you know, that show, and they're still quoting this. It's a family, and it's a phenomenon. And I have to tell you, it's a beautiful way to live. To hear those things from people, elderly people telling me how much I influenced their lives. How many nurses out there became nurses because of Margaret Houlihan, because being influenced by her ambition, her integrity, her power, her strength, her flaws, her humor, her all of it. And I speak for me, for my character, but everybody. All the characters in the show, my God, Jamie, people worship this man. I mean, it just is, and I cannot think of any other actors there who could have, like, Klinger, or they were just, Bill Christopher. I used to tell Bill that his portrayal of Father Mulcahy, I was convinced that he actually brought people back to the church. You know, he was the kind of priest you want to have. You want to feel like you meet him, you have a drink, and you can talk to him, you can tell him this, that, or the other thing about yourself without feeling that it was a, quote, confession. You know, he was just remarkable. And I felt that way. Gary Berghoff, gosh, that, you know, he was married with children when he's doing Radar. And I always thought I was talking to a little kid. he was little Radar and young, and the youngest, the baby. And he was always, always in character. We were in a shoot with the six of us, let's say. There was an expression that Robert Wise used for shooting Julie Andrews. He said, they're doing a crowd scene, when in doubt, cut to Julie. Because she was 150% always there, you know, not saying anything or doing anything, but she, and that was Gary Berghoff. He's just so total.
Yeah.
Whether he was fixing his glasses or his little radar cap, he was never out of character on that set. It was just, it was amazing. And that, and I have little stories like that about each of those people that I worked with, and they're just so special. Alan and Mike, and then of course the people we lost were body blows. I mean, Harry Morgan, if you had to say to the cast when we were flying, we know you all love each other, but who's your favorite? Come on, who's your favorite? We wouldn't have any problem about that. Everybody would say Harry. Mm. Everybody would say Harry. I know they would. And because he was everything to all of us. He was father, he was priest, he was confessor, he was colleague, he was, I mean, and of course his acting chops. He could turn you from laughter to tears in a second. That was his thing, his trade. This is what he did. And remember, we did a show about an oath that he and his comrades from World War One had made. They had a bottle of 100-year-old brandy, and they passed it from one to the other as they demised. And he comes back to MASH after being in Tokyo, and he has this box with him, and he invites us into his tent to toast his fallen comrades. Now, there's Harry of a certain age, of an incredible experience in the era of movie making. He had done 110 movies, black and whites mostly, and mostly classic movies. He just was, the list of movies that he was in, for these, and all of these great familiar actors, the you know, the Henry Fondas and the John Hodiak, yeah. This incredible resume. He had done something like 7 or 8 television series. So his wealth of being was with us. He was like a treasure. He was a treasury. And his humor, I can tell you, Mike Farrell, we were all in Harry's office. It was the last shot of the day. And Harry was his inimitable self, making us laugh so hard. And Mike was lying on the floor with tears rolling down his cheeks. I mean, it just, you had to be there.
Yeah, no.
And this was, so when you say, do you have any little funny stories or something, you know, we have
Loretta, Loretta, you nailed it. You nailed it with some stories. Now, Greg, what are your memories of MASH growing up watching it? Greg.
Well, just enjoying it every day, which was great. I got to see it when it was airing, and I got to see the reruns, you know, later in college. So it was just always there, you know, especially in college, you know, they always had the TV on. We'd go to the dorm, and it was just always playing. So it was just always kind of like having a home away from home, if you would, because it was something that was very familiar and very comfortable growing up, you know, that I enjoyed watching with my my siblings and my parents. So very fond memories about it.
The thing about the memories, when, like, for example, your experience, Greg, you were watching it, rewatching it, you had a different experience from the first time because you were now revisiting with a family member or an old friend or that gal that you had a crush on growing up. But our revisiting was like going back to see an old friend. And that's why this kind of family thing, this familial global MASH family, people have memories attached to the experience of watching the show that is so, so incredibly touching and moving, and in some cases, influencing as in getting a job of being a nurse, because they admired nurses in MASH, or, you know, I had a letter that was quite early in the run too, from a woman who said that her dad left them kind of early in his in her life, and her mother had nothing. And her mother worked two jobs and had very little time left over, and when she was home was pretty tired from working all day and partly into the evening. And so she said, Mom did her best, but you became my big sister when I watched this show. And I became a nurse. I'm married now, happily, with kids who watch the show with me. So, she had a touch of the poet. I'm only telling you the story, but she wrote a beautiful letter about feeling that she could go to MASH, go to the 4077, because it was her safe place. She called it her haven, her safe place. She felt comfortable with the people, her family. It became her ersatz family, you know. And so, and those thoughts reflect themselves in so many pieces of mail. This feeling, I could go there and be safe. I could go there and feel comfortable, laugh, cry.
Yeah.
You know, cry or tears, not necessarily negative. Sometimes that is the outpouring of great emotion and positive emotion, good feelings. And that's quite an exchange that we had with our audience and continue to have. It can be seen, as it was like that old joke, somewhere, let's have a drink, it's early, nah, somewhere the sun is going down over the yard arm. Well, somewhere, as we're talking right now, somewhere, MASH is on the air,
totally.
And somebody is watching it and feeling they've gone home to the old neighborhood and seen old friends. And, you know, it's a very special, glorious happening.
All right, Loretta, you're going to unveil a new jewelry at the International Gem and Jewelry Show to raise money for animal charities in Dulles Expo Center on Friday, May 19th to Sunday, May 21st.
2021, correct. Uh-huh. It's not a line, it's my charity. And yes, the name of my charity is Sweetheart Animal Alliance. Alliance is the operative word there. So all the monies that come in from the art book, I have my second printing of the art book, which contains, I think, something like 70 paintings of mine, watercolors. And the sale price is, it depends. If you're getting it online, it's $60. Well, that money to the penny goes into the treasury of Sweetheart Animal Alliance, as does photographs that I sign or whatever that I'm signing. The jewelry, and the same will apply. My perfume, which is a rounded bottle that is, they call it a glide. It glides on your pulse. It's a glider. And I'm very proud of it. I love it. I wear it. I wouldn't try to sell something that I didn't love or use or wear, you know. And so the perfume will be there. It's Sweetheart, and it's available again online at my website, as is the book, and now the jewelry. It's I think going to go further and maybe develop into a couple more items. At the moment, the necklaces are making their big debut at the gem show.
Excellent.
And people at the International Gem and Jewelry Show are dear friends. There's another one of my families, and they're very proud about presenting my my jewelry, my necklaces, and there will be a ring, and there will be matching earrings. So those are coming. There, it's a development as the needs for the animals of our planet, they develop their needs, but we have had major successes too. But it covers all animals, all sentient beings, because it's not just the little lapdog, it is the farm animal, and it is our service dogs. And one of my alliances helps bring them back from Afghanistan, for example, and they go into a place for recycling in Texas, also, again, an alliance. And we need money to do all this. We need facilities to help them. They come back with PTSD. People don't realize that it's going to be the same for that animal. We're animals. We have the same experiences. And only we can help them, too, do something about helping them. But look what they do for us. They go out there, save lives. The search and rescue dogs are part of my alliance. These teams, these wonderful guys and girls who take their searchers out, their wonderful animals, and go into all the crisis areas of the world and sniff out people buried under earthquake or in fires, or they're remarkable. Yeah. Remarkable people or beings, the dogs and the people, the teams, they're remarkable. So I can go on and on, but just recently, the guide dogs of Israel are my alliance also. I got a beautiful picture of a young man who was hugging his dog, Michelle, her name is, and he was thanking me and my alliances for making that possible. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And now I have a friend, and I can see the light through her. And how do I thank you for, in a part, the quote was, "Do you know the impact you all have made on my life?" Well, wow. It doesn't get better than that, that this group of activists have helped this man in a country we won't go to necessarily or ever meet him necessarily. And we have impacted his life in a way that is miraculous. So that's what I'm all about with the charity. So my charity is Sweetheart Animal Alliance. And of that alliance, and all of this is in the art book at the last page, we have a list of the people I help live by to we, like MSPCA. Two of my rescues that I live with now are from the MSPCA. So it's a wonderful, breathtaking, terrific energy. Fantastic. That we have brought to rescue, placement, helping, changing, making things better. So I'm very, very proud of the charity.
I'm proud of you for sure, Loretta, what you've been able to accomplish. Greg is a huge animal lover. Isn't that true, Greg, with what you do for animals as well?
It is true. It is true. I do love animals.
Yeah, but you've done some raising money too. So tell us about how you've helped raise money for animals, Greg, with your dog.
I'm sorry, Neil. You broke up. What'd you say?
No, I said you've helped raise money for animals or with your dog, right? With specific causes with your dog, using your dog to help raise money.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. And we've gone on TV a bunch of times together. So I have two dogs right now. I have German Shepherd Teddy, who's just an amazing dog. Is the most gentle and most amazing German Shepherd I've ever had. And I've had a few, and people just take to him. So, my sister has a couple of Dobermans that are grand champions, and, hers, we take to hospitals, to kids, to help them at the cancer wards.
And the working dogs in hospitals.
Yeah.
My mom was at the motion picture home in California, and twice a week, a mob, if you will, a herd would come in with their handlers, and these dogs, they'll jump on your lap. Somebody's in a wheelchair, you know, they'll jump on your lap, and they're licking their faces. And I have to tell you, the AMA have confessed that this is an irreplaceable medicine. They can't do as well with a pill or a drop of medicine. These dogs come in and give the love to these people unconditionally. You get licked and loved. And
that's great.
Yeah. So it's time for everybody in my charity. So we think it's time to start giving back. Oh, it's well past time. And I'm not saying it's that we just thought of this idea, but the care and enlightenment, really, the plight of animals, is not a recent thing, but it's been growing and growing, and now it's gotten to a place where we really, really understand how we can help each other.
Fantastic. You know? Fantastic. Greg has a final question he asks all of our celebrities. Go ahead, Greg, with your question.
Yeah, Loretta, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you and getting to know you a bit. But Loretta, for everyone, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, what do you feel is the most important thing you've ever learned?
To reach out and take care of each other. I would have to say, I think I was also affected by how the nurses do this, how our medical people do this, how our firefighters do this. I mean, the most important thing, I really, that in my heart and soul, that the women and men out there in this world are my brothers and sisters. I'm going to love them and take care of them as best I can. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to do what I can to make everybody's life as great as it can be, as easy and happy and wonderful as life can be. Our life is the greatest gift we have. Let's enjoy it, love it, live it to its fullest, but in the best possible way that we can. And I think reaching out and helping each other and knowing that everybody is a brother and a sister. And I know that sounds very kind of evangelical, but and in the truest sense of the word, where I get, I tell you about the male who feels their family. But we are a global family, and we need to implement that. Reach out and help each other, love each other, be good to each other, and make the whole place better and great. You know, absolutely. We can't do it. We can do it. I have seen it. I have lived it. I know it's a fact. And I think that's probably in too many words, but that would be the one thing overall that we have. We have such power to do that.
We appreciate can do it. I appreciate it, Loretta. Thanks again. Everyone needs to check out the information about the event at intergem.com. I appreciate it so much, Loretta, for you stopping by.
Oh, thanks so much. And I hope everyone who hears our message comes to see me at the GEM show. And I'll be appearing at an autograph show with Mr. Farr, with Mr. Famous Jamie Farr. And that is in Philadelphia, coming up the first weekend in May. Right. And so I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of my family. Right. My global family is going to be in my life very shortly.
Thank you, Loretta. Appreciate
Thank you, Loretta.
All right, guys. That was Celebrity Interviews. You too. That was Celebrity Interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Take care, guys.